This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Queensland, Brisbane, Australia, Scott Maiman of CBS News reporting on the upcoming visit of the President of the United States to the Indo-Pacific, a very busy schedule that will take him eventually to Sydney, Australia. Scott, a very good day to you. You're watching this for CBS News. What is the plans, the president's travel plans, and the unique stop in New Guinea? Good day to you.
G'day, John. Yeah, we are excited to have the US leader in Australia. We're talking about him arriving in Sydney a week from Monday. So it's only, you know, just over a week away. He's staying with us for 3 days. He'll be attending the Quad meeting, Quad Nations meeting on May 24. But ahead of all that, his first itinerary sees him in Japan. He's there for a leaders meeting. He moves on for a quick visit to Papua New Guinea before headed to Australia. This is interesting. He's trying to shore up the Pacific nations, as we try to extend that olive branch to the Pacific nations. The coup, a possible coup, potential coup from China, that is worrying a lot of us, Australia, as well as being so close. And of course, what the US is doing. The AUKUS partnership, that is a grave concern for China and Beijing at the moment. They've been critical of the participation of Australia in all of this. So it's important that the president openly meets members of the Pacific nations in our neighborhood to shore up support and to show strength between the U.S. and Australia.
So Japan, then Papua New Guinea, then Sydney. We go to you in Queensland, however, because there's news about your last few years of unusual weather patterns. We've reported on it. Heavy rains, bucketing rains in Queensland, flooding large parts of the areas around Brisbane, damaging homes so that perhaps they can't be rebuilt. We now have a theory as to why we were seeing season after season of La Nina. It's the wildfires. When did they happen, and what did it mean to Queensland, Scott?
John, this is quite fascinating. 2019 was a very bad year for wildfires in Australia. They were damaging. They were destructive. You could look up at the sky and it would be a blood red sun because it was covered over by the smoke haze. And what we're learning now is that those wildfires from 2019 created a chain reaction. It's apparently what has led to Australia having 3 years worth of the La Nina event that we've been talking about, all the flooding, all the damage from water that we've been seeing, all the rain events that we've been seeing. And we've got the tail end of them now, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about that in a moment. But this is the incredible chemical reaction, 3 years of it because of wildfires in 2019, sparking this change in the atmosphere. And we're only just coming out of it now, John.
Yes, and the concern here is La Nina to be followed by El Nino. We now have the meteorologists telling us that the El Nino cycle is upon us, very high percentage. This is not only for your part of the Indo-Pacific, it's also for the west coast of the United States. And El Nino coming means you're going to have heavy rains again in the winter, in your winter fall, followed by drought. And as I understand it, Scott, this is a Earth cycle. The drought follows the heavy rains. The heavy rains create the conditions for underbrush to build up again in your wildlands. And then the drought comes along, dries all that underbrush out, and then a spark, a lightning strike, or a careless campfire starts the cycle all over again. Did you grow up? Is Australia used to this, or is this an unusual pattern, Scott?
Yes, sadly, we are familiar with this, but at least we're having a better understanding of it all. We're being educated by the changing conditions and what the researchers are telling us. But you're absolutely right. In fact, we've just completed a pretty bad weather event yet again across the east coast of Australia. It's affecting New Zealand as well. We are switching from La Nina to El La Nina to El Nino. We've got to get that right. And we're seeing that already. And you're absolutely right. Once we say goodbye to La Nina, it does create this setup for the potential for bushfires because of all that undergrowth dries out. It's becomes just a an incredible wildfire potential. A spark from anything, a lightning strike can set it all off. And we'll be getting it before the west coast of the United States. So we'll be able to examine it and tell you what you guys are in for.
Did you see the fires from Brisbane in 2019?
Did not see the fires, but we got the smoke haze and it was thick. It was incredible. It was difficult to breathe because of it. And I'm down on the Gold Coast. It's about a 1 hour drive south of Brisbane. And for it to be so thick, and I mentioned in our opening, the smoke haze caused the sun to almost be blocked out. It became a red haze because of the smoke haze that covered over the sun coming down on us.
To China. The dispute with China is long-standing now between Australia and China, having to do with Australia insisting on the evidence about the cause, the origins of COVID-19, is my understanding of the beginning of the dispute. It's accelerated since then, and China's now in dispute with several nations allied with the United States, and another is Canada most recently. But I read the Australian Trade and Tourism Minister, Don Farrell, visiting China as part of a joint effort to repair ties scarred by political rifts. In a statement issued by the office, Farrell said he would be advocating strongly for the full resumption of unimpeded Australian exports to China. Is this a popular position that he's taking, Scott, or is it time to make up with China? You also need Chinese tourists.
It's interesting, this one, depending where it goes. On one hand, we've got the potential for conflict in the Pacific, as we've talked about. On the other hand, this goes back a few years now, we've had trade sanctions from China on our wine, on various other goods and services sent to China. We are reliant on China for a lot of their goods, their infrastructure. So this is a pathway towards full resumption of trade. So they're going to be relaxing their trade. We are hopeful that we could see a few more things out of this. We currently have a journalist in China who's being detained. He's been there for over a year now. We're hopeful that that may help in his release. Then, of course, there's the South China Sea, the South Pacific. What is going to happen next? Hopefully this could be a breakthrough deal, which perhaps we could smooth things over. The signs have been promising. It's just a case of wait and see, John.
Finally, a detail. You're opening a coal mine. The Albanese government is opening its first coal mine. It's a surprise because I believe the Labor government is associated with the Green Party. 30 seconds. Is that correct?
Yeah, John, this is interesting. They've knocked back a couple already of their coal mine applications. This particular one has gotten through. So we're still sorting out the details, but it looks like they're saying that fossil carbon needs to stay alive and well, some sort of friendship going on here. Now, it's in Queensland. We already have quite a few coal mines in Queensland already. As you know, we've got one of the best coals in the world. And so this could be seen as a good thing. But of course, environmentalists not happy. Of course, as you mentioned, Labor and the Greens work hand in hand together. So this caught us by surprise. We were not expecting this to go through.
Scott Maiman, CBS News. In Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, I'm John Batchelor.